welcome. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your support for the Young family during this time. We're going to go ahead and start the memorial service for Joshua Charles Young. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come here this morning with heavy hearts. Joshua touched many, if not all of us in this room, in many different ways. We loved him, and we miss him. Lord, we know that you're in control, even of these things. And we know that Joshua is with you in heaven. That Joshua is where we long to be. Lord, he's not fighting this battle against sin any longer. He's not struggling against his flesh. Instead, he's rejoicing with you at your feet, singing praises to your name. Lord, you are honored and glorified in Josh's life. I pray that you be glorified in his death as well. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and the peace that you give. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me in singing this song. It is not death to die.
and do not fear. Though winds of change may change tomorrow, God is at your side. No longer dread the fires of unexpected sorrow. And I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you alone. Still, my soul. Be moved by lesser lights and fleeting shadows. Hold unto his ways with shields of faith against temptations, bring arrows. God, you are my God, and I will trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you alone. Still, my soul, be still. Do not forsake the truth you learned in the beginning. Wait upon the Lord, and hope will rise as stars appear when day is dimming. Trust in you and not be shaken. Lord of peace, renew a steadfast spirit within me to rest in you
alone. Someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
John 11:25-26. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I'm glad my brother believed this.
I had the dear privilege of being one of Joshua's teachers for school and one of his friends. These past couple of months, I got to spend one-on-one time with him almost every day, and I'm so grateful. Anyone that spent much time with Josh will remember what a people person he was. He's always talking. It was a challenge getting him to focus on school sometimes because his brain was so full of so many great things that he was excited to talk to someone about. He would always have me set a timer for him, and when he was reading the challenging words so that he could race himself. When I was doing school with him on Monday morning before the accident, he finished a row of words and he kind of sighed and he looked up at me and he said, "Can we just talk now?" And I was like, "Well, what do you want to talk about?" And he was like, "We got to come up with a plan for how to get your kids over here to play." He was always calling my siblings my kids. I find us talking about the most random things, and he was so enthusiastic about everything. Also on Monday, he asked me, because if he could distract me from school, then we would be able to talk. he was like, "Are you going to the ladies' retreat?" And I was like, "I think so." And his eyes got so wide, and he was like, "Oh, that's lovely." I think it was on Thursday or Friday, the week before, that I was actually just talking about old memories with him. And he kind of got this smirk on his face, and he asked me, he said, "Do you remember when I asked you to marry me?" I smiled, and I told him, "Of course I did." And he said, "Do you even remember where it was?" I told him, "Yeah, it was under the tree where he planted the sunflowers." Always remember the little farmer that he was and how excited he would get when something would come up and sprout. There's so many things like that. He was so thoughtful and so ahead of his years, I think. He was always able to cheer people up. And he would always love on his siblings or anyone else that he came in contact with. I always remember how funny he was and how, even as a lively, energetic little boy, he always had time for others. It's probably the biggest thing I'll remember. And I can't wait to see him again.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. I feel that we can learn a lot from Joshua. The things my children would tell me about Joshua, whether Joshua's faith was real. Joshua lived his faith and was not hypocritical about it. He spoke truth into others. My son Samuel and Joshua developed a close friendship. And one thing that Samuel really liked about Joshua is that Joshua really liked him, and that Joshua was a peacemaker. There was a time when Samuel was feeling left out, picked on by some of the boys. And Joshua saw the countenance on Samuel's face, and Joshua said to Samuel, "Don't pay evil for evil, Sam, but pay it with good." And grabbed Samuel's hand and said, "Come on, let's go play." Another time, my daughter, Mary, saw a group of kids gathered together arguing about something. And Joshua shouted to them, and he said, "Can't everybody just get along? Can't we all just be friends?" Words of wisdom spoken from an 8-year-old boy. Joshua is just like you, Jason. He was following in your footsteps. I have to say, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. It's a chip off the old block. Young family, you truly raised Joshua to hunger and thirst for righteousness, for God's glory. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we learn from this example of Jason and Lisa that what we sow into our children at home, we reap an eternal harvest for God's glory.
We all love Josh a lot. getting to grow up with him was definitely a gift. He was a huge blessing to all of us and our family. He was so full of life, and he just loved to talk and talk and talk. And I'd just be walking around, and he'd just be following me talking. And I remember just little bits and pieces of what he would say. But most of it was just, he would ask a question, and I'd be like, he'd keep talking. I'd be out doing my chores. He'd follow me around, ask me tons of questions. When I had the milk, which I absolutely hate, he would absolutely love me. He'd come up there and start trying to milk, and did almost as good as I did, and I would squirt him with milk, and he would I wouldn't let him squirt me, because I hate milk getting squirted on me. But he never minded it, and he just loved the goats. He loved all the animals. He would, like none of us, he would take small things that were broken or hurting, like a chicken, give it their own little pen, you'd give it food, give it water, and you'd watch it, and then come back with reports. You know, it had died, it had made it, it was getting better, it was eating, it was drinking, we didn't have to feed anymore. Most of us would just be like, it's sick, it's dead, we'll just shoot it and bury it. But he would not do that. He had a huge heart for everything. He loved gardening, like was said. He would plant flowers like none of us ever did. He was a lot like Dad. Most of us were kind of grumpy when we had to do the garden. It's hot. We don't like digging up plants and weeding things. It would get annoying. But Josh, he loved it. He'd be picking up mesquite beans and weeding stuff and talking to everybody, watering things, growing his own things, growing melons, telling me how his melons were doing, or his flowers. He was always that kind of person. At night, when I'd sometimes go with the boys, and they'd be already put to bed, but I'd go in there. And sometimes I'd get kicked out because I'd get them all riled up and pillow fight. And Josh was always the toughest. I could throw the biggest pillow at him. So that was always nice. But when I was home with them and saying goodnight, I'd say goodnight to Sam and Josh and Ben. And I'd always say goodnight to Josh. And he'd have a million questions right after. I'd say goodnight. I'd go to walk out. And he's like, hey, John, are you working tomorrow? Hey, John, what are you doing tomorrow? Hey, John, can you get me some food tomorrow? He's always asking me to get food. He's probably the biggest of all of us. We're all like skinny people, but he was a big guy, and he ate a lot and was always hungry. Every time I got back from work, hey, John, did you bring me food? I'm like, yes, but Mom's not supposed to know I got this food. But I would bring him food, and his face would always light up and be like, thank you, John. And he'd walk off and eat it, and then he'd tell his brothers, and I'd have a lot more food to give away. And he was always fair. He'd always, if we were making food or whatever, he's like, John, did you have your two cookies? I'm like, I don't want cookies. But, yeah, he was always making sure everyone had their food. He was also very expressive with his face. He loved to make faces, smile, goofy faces, fun faces. He also very serious. Sometimes he could listen. One of my favorite things I did with him was I took him out to do bees. Got him suited up, followed around with the smoker, smoking the bees, and just asking me questions after questions about the bees and about just every random thing. And what made him most special for me is just hearing him talk about it months after. He really loved all of us. He liked doing stuff with all of us. He really lived a good life, I think. He would hug Celia until she squirmed and begged him just to let him go. And with Hannah and Isaac, he did the same thing. He loved us all. He was a special brother and a great brother to have. And I really miss having him around. I'm sure all of us will. And I wish we had more time with him here. But God knows best, and he had a plan all along. So
thank you all for being his friend and listening to him talk and realizing how special he was. And pray that we'd all learn something from him and wouldn't forget the things he's taught us.
Joshua had a very special place in all of our hearts, as you can tell. Like John said, he would hug and kiss his little girls until they had enough of it. He'd hold a baby for mom. I'm going to go through real quick and just say something he did with each sibling recently that I've gathered from them. He hugged and kissed the little girls, like I said, and held the baby. He went out recently and climbed up the bamboo with Benjamin. He played guns and Indians. He got spanked at double-decker with Sam. He was Sam's best friend. They did a lot together. Kaylin took him up and down that zip line all day on Monday. And Chris took him that day out to ride on the three-wheeler twice. Nicholas recently snuck away to Safeway and bought Clif Bars and ate them in the parking lot so the evidence wouldn't get home. John, like he said, took him out to do bees. I stopped, and even when my fiance was there talking at the table, played a game of checkers with him recently. I told him to be quiet so I could hear what they were talking about, and he listened. But we played a good game, and he won. Mom read to them almost every single night. Dad got to take a hike with Joshua up north. He went out with Emily and I one time. I was short a vehicle, so he went with us, chaperoned with us. He sat in the back seat. And I had a meeting, so I went to the meeting, and Emily and him went out and bought some snacks, bought some rollerblading gear she bought for him. Maggie had all that one-on-one time, and I'm so grateful that an older person got to sit there and hear him every day recently. Thank you, Maggie. And Mr. Costagin was around our house doing some work and just talked his ear off. Some personal memories I have of Joshua. When he was 2 or 3, I had the strongest relationship with him. I remember praying that God would give me a son just like him because he was literally the cutest 2-year-old you'd ever see. He had big chunky cheeks and curly red hair. And I taught him to be a farmer. I wanted to be a farmer when I was younger, and that dream kind of fizzled out. But I wanted a sibling to follow in those steps. And I would talk to him about being a farmer when he was 2 or 3. And ask me questions, and I would tell him why you don't want to feed chickens GMO corn and all that good stuff. I had a stack of farming books. And a couple times a year, I'd take those farming books from underneath my bed because I cleared them off my shelf to make room for other books. And I'd take those books out, and he'd sit on my bed, and we'd look through the pictures together. And I promised him that when he grew up, I'd give him those books. Sorry. I bought a hat when I was younger. The hat's on the table. A brown farming hat. And I gave it to him on his last Christmas. And he loved it. He said, "Thanks, Alex." He always wore it. We talked about it sometimes. He clipped it up on the top. And Sam would take it and throw it like a frisbee. And John hated that. He was very thankful for people when they gave him things. And the biggest last thing I remember of him was during this, especially even recently, but especially those 2 years when I was sick, he'd come up to me and he'd say, "Hey, Alex, how you doing?" And it was a trick question, because if I told him I was doing terrible, he'd leave me alone. But if I told him I was doing better or okay, he'd ask for a story. He'd scrunch his nose up and he'd ask for a story. He can't say no. So I told him and Benjamin and Samuel hundreds of stories when I was sick. Frederick and Thomas stories mostly, about two mice. And the common theme you can hear is he loved life. He loved doing things. He loved people. He had love for God. But he also was a true boy. He got spankings. He had attitudes. He was wild. He was kind of like the rest of us. But he was also uniquely himself and uniquely special. He wasn't an angel child. He was a real boy, and we all love him very much. I'd like to read some verses I wrote the other day as I was thinking about all this stuff that we're going through right now. You think he's in the other room and look around the door. You see his little shoes inside. Then remember, he's no more. As David cries for Absalom, and Job's in mourning for his sons, and Rachel's weeping bitterly the loss of precious little ones. Now the tears of all the ages are pouring down our faces, reminding us that still today, God can give and take away. The waves of grief now washing high upon a broken heart in woe, the price we all at times must pay for having loved a soul below. A stabbing pain, then numb withdraw, and God is far and nights are long. The question, why must children die? It seems so sick and feels so wrong. The whole of creation is groaning. Deliver, set us free, she cries. And tossed about by hurricanes, we long for Satan's full demise. But he's gone before his family to the land of endless light. And now he's safe with Jesus, delivered from all that's not right. And his life, it is not over. No, it's only just begun. A better realm has claimed him. Now his earthly race is won. Thank you.
Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe. safe, for He is my refuge. Blood He has shed for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er. Wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Stay, stay, safe in the arms of Jesus. Stay, I'm safe. Stay, stay, safe in the arms of Jesus. I'm safe.
Father God, we thank You for Your grace. And we thank You for Your mercy. And we thank You that this is the day that You've made. And we rejoice and are glad in it. God, I thank You for this beautiful service. Thank You, God, for giving us all we need in Christ. Thank You for giving us Your Word. Pray, Father, that You would be glorified in this time now. We thank You for the life of Joshua Charles Young. We thank You for Your amazing grace in Jesus Christ. May You receive the glory and the honor that is due You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My prayer is that the death of my son, Joshua Charles Young, would glorify the death of God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. My confidence is that the life of God's Son will give life to my son. My heart is broken at the loss of my son, and this forever places my heart in heaven. Truly, it is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all in this world. And in Christ, all is one. I have three words for us today to remember the life of Joshua Young. I have three words for my family to help us get through this. Blessed, appointed, and received. Blessed, appointed, and received. If I could summarize Joshua's life in one word, it would be the word blessed. He was blessed. He was one very happy child. He was blessed by the Lord. And he was happy because he loved others. The happiest people in life are those who love. The most miserable people in life are those who do not love. I'm so thankful for the blessings that the Lord has given. I have a few noteworthy examples of this blessing I'd like to highlight for us today. First and foremost, I'm thankful for God that He gave us Josh. I'm thankful for God that He gave us our seventh child. I'm thankful for God that He opened my eyes to this simple truth. God said to them, God bless them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Genesis 1:28. Psalm 127:3. Behold, that means listen, pay attention, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy, that is blessed. Blessed or happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. I am so thankful that God gave Lisa and I the faith to see that children are a blessing. If I had not repented of my selfishness, I would have rejected the blessing of my seventh son. When I was a young father, I would get angry at my children. I am so thankful that God led me to repent of my selfishness. I love being a parent now. When you first start having children, you know, they require a lot of giving. They require a lot of love. And I remember going out and just pouring dust on my head and repenting in the desert, just crying out to God for mercy to change my heart to give and to love my children, especially with Alex and John, my first guys. And I'm so thankful for God's blessing in granting me repentance of my selfishness. Children are not a choice. Children are a blessing. We are to receive God's blessing and to submit to His choice. Even if it's hard, God's way is best. Growing up, or having a family, with having a child every 2 years, just like clockwork, right? Lisa's like clockwork. It's God's blessing. I kind of thought it was, I always knew it was a blessing, but I also thought it was a lot of work, because it is. And that's all changed. It's amazing the change that takes place when one child's gone. So realize the tremendous blessing and value that God has given our family. And the hole that's there is a huge hole. We went from having a big family of 11, now we have this little family. Because there's one missing. I know it sounds strange, but it's the reality. And again, it doesn't matter. It's not about how many children you have. It's about receiving the blessing God has for you. I'm not saying that, you know, whether you have 10, 4, or none, if that's what God gives you. It's about His sovereignty. It's about receiving the blessing God has designed for you. I'm so thankful that God gave us the ability to receive the stewardship that He had for us. Including this. Stewardship means that God owns it. We're stewards. Being a parent is a steward. Whose children are we? Whose creation are we? God's creation. They're God's children. They're not mine. I'm a steward of them. A parent is a steward of that which God has given. So I'm saying I'm thankful for the faith that God gives to get my brain in the right perspective, repenting of selfishness, having the faith to receive this blessing so I could be a steward of it and a happy steward and a joyful steward. It makes parenting a lot easier when you're joyful and happy. It's not that I'm a great parent. I just learned to submit to God's will a little bit, right? And it was so much better. And he grew up in those better years in the sense of me finally getting some maturity. And I'm so thankful that my older boys got to see that growth in their dad and in our family unit. Right now, I can honestly say I would not trade this for the world. That goes without saying, but I would not trade this for the world. And I wouldn't trade it for the world because there are only two things that we can honestly touch that are eternal. There's two things that are eternal that we can touch. And that is this right here. The Word of God and the souls of men. People. The Word of God and people. That's what really matters. That's what matters most. Everything else is a distraction. We get so distracted about pretty things. And I wish I could go there. I wish I could be there. I wish I had more of this. I wish I had. But you know what? It doesn't matter. What matters is the Word of God and people. The Word of God and people. 1 John 2:17 says, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. This world is passing away. 1 Peter 1:24, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. We have the seed. We have the word of God that abides forever. And Peter says this, now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. The second thing I'm so thankful for, I'm so thankful that from the day Joshua was born, every day, Lisa and I were able to personally instruct him in the scriptures, whether it be in family worship, and we had such wonderful times of family worship together, or walking along and talking along. The scriptures were the interpretation of Josh's life while here on earth. I'm so thankful that we educated Josh at home. I'm so thankful that we didn't kill his spirit by locking him into a desk somewhere, but free Joshua to learn in a way that he could learn. Lisa, I thank you for that, giving that gift to your son. You're an amazing wife, an amazing, amazing mother. 2 Timothy 3:14, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I am so thankful that Josh was daily instructed in the Scriptures, and he was thriving in body, in spirit, in joy. And I just give God the glory. I give God the glory for the beauty of God's Word, the beauty of the Christian life, the beauty of Jesus Christ and how He teaches us how to live. It's not my idea. It's God's idea. And submission to His Word, as much as I try to mess it up myself, the beauty of Christ is the way to live. It is the only way to live. It is the blessed way to live. Josh had so much fun in our family, as you can see from Jonathan and Alex. There was always something to do. There was always someone to play with. Now, the other side meant he always had to give. He always had to submit. He always had to love someone, because there's one toy and always there's at least three or four kids that want the toy. So through that dynamic, they learned to love each other. And they had so much fun. They had a blast together. So thankful for the relationships that Joshua had. Joshua loved his baby brother Isaac. He loved Celia. Celia, you were able to take Joshua's love, and he could smother you, and you still loved him. You still wanted to see him again, didn't you? She gets up in the morning, where's Joshua? Joshua would just take her and love her and squeeze her and squeeze her and love her. And then he would love Hannah, and Hannah would love him. And then Hannah would want to go do something. Oh, and they'd go out and they'd look for the figs and look for food hanging from the trees. And where's Josh? He's over by the... And he always knew if something was ripe, because Josh was by the tree. In the tree, eating the tree, eating the figs, the pomegranates, the whatever it was, right? And come back. Sam, Josh, and Ben did everything together. You can hear the grieving in their hearts. Sam, you're a good brother. Ben, he was your friend. When Benjamin was born, Joshua looked at Benjamin and said, he will be my friend. And they were good friends. Kaylin, you were an amazing big sister. You shared life together. Chris, you played so hard with them. I'm glad we got that picture of you wrestling. That was Christopher all the way. Christopher is the child that he can play with the older kids and he can play with the younger kids. He's very well balanced. And you played so well with him. Nick, you provided so much enjoyment in the things you made for our family. Where are you? Nick, thank you. From just amazing. From that swimming hole and everything else in between. John, he adored you. You were a great big brother. You had so much fun. Alex, thank you for sharing your life with Josh. He loved the stories. And thankful for God's sustaining grace in those 2 years when Alex was sick. We still had fun. We still had fun together. Lisa, you did an amazing job during that time. Josh was an integral part of our family. Now that he's gone, I can see clearly the bonds of love that have existed in our family. Probably clearer than I ever have. I mean, because sometimes it's true, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And it's just to see the bonds of love that are between us. And I'm always praying, Lord, increase the bonds of love. That's that's a big deal because I know when the bonds of love aren't there, what happens? Those bonds of love were amazing, and now God just severed them, right? He severed them. In pulling up Joshua, he picked the flower. God in his sovereignty picked the flower. And we can see clearly these bonds of love that he's given us, the proper expression of love and emotion. I'm so thankful for these blessings. Thankful for his talkative personality. I'm thankful that he got to shepherd our sheep. He was a good shepherd. He would, we have a couple sheep and he would watch them. It would be his job. And he would go back there and he'd shepherd those sheep. He'd chase them down. They'd try to get out. And he's a little shepherd boy. Josh, Ben, and Sam. Who do you think was the best shepherd? You all worked together, didn't you? He was a hard worker. He did his chores. And he had fun while he did his chores. I'm thankful that he got to live in a house where he saw a gospel-centered marriage. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to present that. I'm thankful that God turned my heart to his. A precious proverb to me, Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me your heart. My son, let your eyes delight in my ways. Thankful that God turned my heart from being so stupid, a selfish person. And to cry out for his heart because God gave me sound doctrine. So thankful for sound doctrine. I don't have to be tossed to and fro like a crazy person. Being rooted in the scriptures so I know what my purpose in life is, to glorify God, be a father, be a husband. And to cry out for the hearts of my sons. Josh gave me his heart. He gave it to me so well. As all of you guys have given me your hearts. And daughters, not leaving you out. I love Proverbs 23:26. Lisa and I, again, he's our baby, and it's such a blessing to go through this with you. You're very nurturing to him his whole life. So stable. You're an excellent mother, and you provided the environment through your sacrifice of yourself for our family. You sacrificed yourself for our family and only in ways that you know. You and God. So I thank you for that, honey. I'm so thankful that in the midst of an evil and corrupt world, I mean, Joshua Young lived an amazing life. So we'll always remember that Joshua was blessed. He was blessed. He had fun. He was blessed. And that's just our family. And I extend this now. He was blessed to grow up not only in a loving Christian home, but he was blessed to grow up in a Christ-centered community. That I so pray that the bonds of love would grow between my family and Heritage Baptist Church, and they are. I mean, he had real meaning relationships with the church family, the one anothering. I mean, he was truly, you truly loved him and he truly loved you. And I can't tell you what a blessing that is to see your children growing up in community, in the community of faith. I thank God for that. I praise God for that. You were loved by your family. You were loved by your parents, your grandparents. So thank you guys for coming out and visiting and then putting up with us when we would come visit you for that. We wouldn't see you for a long time, and then you'd see a lot of us for a long time. So it was definitely a feast or famine, but, I mean, you know, the kids loved it. They loved you. And Joshie loved you. So I have much to be thankful for. So let's always remember to be thankful for the blessings of God. With that, I'd like to publicly bless Joshua one last time. We just finished our baccalaureate at our church. We do a baccalaureate service, and we recognize the transition of from childhood to an adult. And with your permission, I'd like to give Josh the baton. I give the kids a baton when they ran the race, and it's to pass on the faith. It's the symbol to pass on the faith. For Josh, it's a recognition that he ran his race well. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Run in such a way as to win the prize." And Josh ran in such a way as to win the prize. And Josh's race is won. And so I give him this final token of a blessing because I'm not going to get to give it to him. I'm going to give it to him now as a blessing that he ran his race and that his race is done. Let's put it there. Ah.
And we all give thanks to that. We all give thanks to that. So let us all run in such a way as to win the prize. I went over many of the blessings on earth, the earthly blessings. And I prepared a video. It's called One Last Time. I'm sorry, One More Time. And I want to share this video now that focuses on some of the eternal blessings that we have and the hope we have in salvation. Would you play the video, please?
Happy birthday, dear Joshua. Happy birthday to you.
Birthdays are always special times at our house. I always take each of my children out for a special time with their dad. I use this time to draw our hearts together and to take inventory of the previous year. We often set goals for the upcoming year, share our hearts together as we do something fun. Josh wanted to climb what he called rock slide. It was a great climb. Josh kept telling me how much Sam and the rest of his brothers would enjoy climbing it. He wanted me to take these pictures so that I could show them later. When we got to the top, we sat and talked for a while. Now, it was time for our most important talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our special time. How old are you, Josh?
9.
And where did you just climb up?
A rock slide.
That was a spot. I asked my son, if you were to die, where would you go? He said he'd go to heaven. I asked him why he thought that way. We talked about how sin separates us from God. Josh confessed that he indeed was a sinner, and we talked about this. Then Josh affirmed the gospel promise that Jesus died for his sins and rose again the third day, so that sinners like us could go to heaven when we die and spend eternity with Jesus. After this affirmation about the gospel, Josh prayed to thank God. And after that, I prayed. And together with Josh, we thanked God, and I prayed God's blessing upon my son. I had no idea that in just 20 days, my son would be dead. And that time of gospel affirmation would become one of the most important events of my life. I am so thankful for the opportunity I had to spend with my son and to affirm the gospel one more time before he died.
My second word is appointed. Appointed. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for man once to die, and after that, the judgment." God had an appointment with Joshua, as He has an appointed time for each of us. The appointment is that God has a certain time determined regarding man's future as established by God. Psalm 139, talking about the life of man. 139:13, God says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. My frame was hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, the great sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. All our days are written in God's book before one of them even comes to pass. And there is a day appointed by God when you and I will die and when we'll stand before the judgment seat of God. Let me ask you the same question I asked my son. Where will you go when you die? What will you say to God when you stand before the judgment? And God says, why should I let you into my kingdom? Some will say, well, that's not fair. Many parents have said to me already, no parent should have to do this. No parent should have to bury a child. Where is God in the death of an innocent child? And we have the answers from the Bible. There is no innocent child. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Why death? Because of sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, and that's Adam, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. The reason people die is because of sin. That's the reason. What is sin? Disobedience to God. Not believing in God's word. Not accepting God's word. Not worshiping the God of the Bible. Submitting to God's will. Having other gods. Putting other things, places in the place of God's. You know, when I made that video, I was scanning the beautiful countryside. Now all I want to see is my son. I could care less about the countryside. It was such a beautiful place. I wish I would have just focused on him. I turned that off, and that's when I asked him about, where are you going to go when you die? And we had this discussion. There's nothing more important than God. There's nothing more important than knowing God. Don't have any other gods, no idols. We get deceived by idols, by the lust of our flesh, by the lust of our eyes, and thinking other things are more important than the God of the Bible, because we don't like the God of the Bible. We don't like that the God of the Bible judges us for our sin. We don't like the God that chooses to take children home and babies home, and we're all going to stand before Him in judgment. We don't like that. We want to be free to do whatever we want. That's not God's plan. That's the sin against God. So we make idols to excuse ourselves. We take His name in vain. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give glory to God in this by embracing God's will, and that He in His sovereign right has every authority to give life and to take life. That's how we bless His name in this. It doesn't take away the hurt of the loss, but it's not confusing. This is not confusing. It's not confusing when a baby dies. It's hard. It's gut-wrenching. It's horrible. It's horribly painful. But it's not like, where's God in this? As he was dying in the hospital, the nurse looked at me, it was very helpful. I was able to share Christ with her. And he's dying. And she says, where is God in this? God is right here. This is not an accident. There are no accidents with God. Let's bless His name. Let's understand the God of the Bible. We sin against Him when we say God couldn't do this, or God can't do this, or God's not involved in this, or God, no parent should have to do this, and I can judge God, and I can make God be what I want Him to be, instead of God being who He is, and God can speak, and it is. We want to worship the God of the Bible. We want to honor His Sabbath rest. We want to honor parents. The fifth commandment: do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal, do not lie, do not covet. When we compare ourselves to the law of God, we conclude with Scripture that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who here hasn't believed the lies of the devil that we can live life how we want, that we can do what we think and what we feel is best and not base it on God's Word? Has anyone ever believed that lie? We all have fallen short of the glory of God. So we see that the wages of sin is death. Why do people die? Because of sin.
Is that the end of the story? No. But that's what we've been appointed to. It's appointed man once to die, and after that, to stand before God in judgment. Well, we will give an account before God of all the sins that we've done. And that's why the most important thing is grace. The wages, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but there's a grace. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. There's a gift. God gave a gift. God did something to save us from our sin. And that is, He sent His Son to die. Talk about death. You want to know a cruel death? You want to know something that's really not fair? It wasn't fair that Jesus died. It wasn't fair that the perfect Son of God, who never sinned, He died. The Father gave His Son to pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus willingly submitted Himself to His Father's will and took the place of sinners on the cross. He knew no sin. He had no sin, but He became sin. He took our sin, paid the penalty for sin. He died on the cross so that those who believe in Him would not perish. Those who have faith in Him, those who trust in Him, receive that grace. This is the good news of the gospel. That for by grace we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves. This is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. So that when we stand before God, for those who have believed, it's been appointed once to die. But after that, those who have received this grace, as we go before God in judgment, who can give a charge against God's elect, Paul says in Romans 8. And that's a courtroom scene. God is a courtroom. Who can bring a charge? And there's a guilty charge. And there's only one who could bring that charge, and it's Christ. And He died and further rose again. So all who are in Christ are forgiven. So we have actual hope for my son Joshua. I told the nurse, I said, I have an actual hope. I said, not just a hope so fairy tale, maybe so, blue sky kind of nebulous existence. No, Scripture says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus rose from the dead so that we could see that. The testimony of the church is this: Christ is risen from the dead. The testimonies of the Scriptures is Christ is risen from the dead. Therefore, we have hope. We sorrow. We sorrow the loss of our son. I sorrow the loss of my son. I'll carry this with me to the day I die. And part of me is dead. Part of me dies with my son. But I know what I know, because Christ rose from the dead. Therefore, I have hope. And I want you to have that same hope, that you can be justified by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Because God paid the penalty for your sin. If there's one thing this shows us, is that you do not have tomorrow promised. If a beautiful little nine-year-old boy does not have tomorrow promised, then I think you and I don't either. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Right now. Right now. Scripture says, therefore, today if you would hear His voice, do not harden your heart. If you die right now, are you trusting in the grace of God to save you from your sin? Or are you trusting something else? Because if you're trusting something else, I guarantee it will not get you there. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The only way to get to God is through the perfect, sinless sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Do you trust Christ to save you from your sins? Do you trust Christ to take you to heaven? Today is the day of salvation. Is there anyone here who does not know Christ? I would beg of you to come to Christ. I would plead with you to come to Christ. I beg with you to come to Jesus Christ and receive this gospel, that you may be saved, that you may know Him. You do not have tomorrow promised. You only have one thing, and that's you have an appointment. You have an appointment that's been set by God, and you can't stop that. I can't stop it. You can't stop it. No one here can keep themselves alive. We are a children's hospital, multi-billion-dollar hospital, and we couldn't keep him alive 1 minute. No one can keep himself alive. You're kidding yourself if you think you can keep yourself alive. There's a day that is set, that is appointed, that you will die.
and you will face God. Are you prepared to face God? Do you know Christ? Do you know the gospel? Are you saved? Are you right with God? This is the appointment that you have. This is an example of that appointment. Take heed to it. Take heed to it. I'm thankful for the wisdom of God's Word that gives us the answers to life's questions. He was blessed. And he had an appointment. My son had an appointment with God. And God called him home. You heard? Well, you heard my confession of what I said to him. It wasn't that long ago. He confessed Christ. And based on this confession, and based on the gospel, I believe that my son is in heaven. And I believe that I want you in heaven. With us there. My final point is accept. Do you accept this? Do you accept this? What God has chosen, we must accept. What God has chosen, we must accept. Psalm 139:16. In your book, they all were written. That is the days that were set before one of them took place. God establishes these things. I've had several people say to me, well, God doesn't do that. God doesn't kill people. God, what? People are, they're not reading the Bible. The God I serve says, now see that I, even I am He, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. Deuteronomy 32:39. God is sovereign over death. God is sovereign over life. God is the creator. And He owns everything. And when God calls the end, it's the end and no one can keep himself alive. Now I am all for working hard to be a good steward of life. If you know me, you know my family, and we work very hard and very diligent to be a good steward. I'm not a fatalist. I don't believe that you should just, you know, chuck it. No, there's wisdom. But in wisdom, no one can keep himself alive. Jesus said, in dealing with issues of life and death, in Matthew 10:29, our Lord gives us these words. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. I mean, talk about comforting. How as a parent do I keep from going insane? How do Lisa and I keep from going insane? From the pain and the what ifs, and what if I did it, and what if I should, what, you know, who wouldn't want to go back and do that Monday over again? Do not fear. God is in control. Not one of these sparrows falls to the ground apart from our Father's will. And He's making the contrast of how much more He loves us. The very hairs of Joshua's head are numbered by His Heavenly Father. Do not fear. You're more valuable than these. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Therefore, we take comfort that the Father's will is done in who lives and who dies. God says, I exalt and I put down. I raise up and I destroy. I wound and I heal. Job 1:21. After Job lost all of his children, the wind came, the ceiling collapsed, killed his family, killed all his children. Job says, the Lord gave and the Lord takes away. He didn't say, oh, I wish I would have put fasteners on that roof. He recognizes this is from the hand of God. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And then he doesn't blaspheme God's name. But he blesses God's name. Let's stop blaspheming the name of God. And let's bless the name of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's receive the stewardship that he has, the gifts of life. We are not sovereign. God is sovereign. We are not to pick and choose. We're to receive the blessings he has for us. And we're to steward them with wisdom. But we're to steward them for God and his glory. And if God chooses to take away some of our steward, we say, bless your name. And if God gives us the opportunity to raise that stewardship, whatever it may be, we say, bless your name. We say this, God says it's required of stewards to be what? Faithful to what God has given you. Oh God, may we be faithful in this. May we as a church family be faithful in this. As a community, faithful. Thank you for your love and your support for me and my family. Pray for us that we will be faithful stewards of this opportunity. Now, as we grieve, we'll be in deep grief. Lisa and I will be in deep grief the rest of our life. That's just how it's going to be. But we move forward in the stewardship that God has given us because it's all about God. This is all about God. Where is God in this? Right here. Right in the midst of it. God moves in these ways to bring about his glory. I pray that the death of my son would bring glory to the death of God's son. Because I know the life of God's son will give life to my son and to all who have faith in him. My question for you is, will you accept this? Will you accept this? My question for my family is, will we accept this? Will we accept that Josh ran his race and is done at 9? And that was God's plan for him. Will we accept this? Will we say what Job said in Job 2:10? Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? Well, I'd rather just accept good. I'd rather have a God that only did good according to my pea-sized brain. I like that, okay? But if you read the Bible, that's not what God does. It's not the God of the Bible. We had a really hard time with Alex. God healed him. Whew. We just had a little break. And now this. And the answer is, I will accept, Lord, whatever you have for me. Just give me the faith to believe. Give me the faith to believe. Will you accept this in your life? Now, let me talk to you a minute, because your pain is not my pain. I've been talking about my pain. Your pain may be a trial that you've gone through in your past. Maybe you had a broken relationship. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you didn't grow up in a Christian family. Maybe you've been alone. There's a lot of pain everywhere. Will you see the hand of God through this and allow God to bring you to a place of seeing God's will and trusting Him as your Savior? Will you see the pain that God brought in your life as from His sovereign purposes? Yes, the world is cursed. And not forget that. Sin deserves death, and the wages of sin is death. And one day, God will do away with all that, and that's called the return of Christ. Until then, there's going to be a sin-cursed world you live in. And the reason God hasn't destroyed the whole thing is because He's having mercy. All right? So you want to complain about God, why didn't He just throw all the sinners into hell and end it all? Well, He's having mercy. Okay? So let's give thanks to His mercy and even the pain that He brought in your life, the disappointments, the things that didn't work out. Please don't let that keep you from God. Please don't let that keep you from Jesus. Please submit to the Lord, for He is good. He is good in the pain, because He is God in the pain. And we can worship Him in the pain. And we can see that He takes us through the most difficult times to glorify His name. And He leads us on into heaven. And in heaven, He will wipe away all tears. He will end all wickedness. There will be no tears. There will be no evil. So the ultimate good will ultimately triumph in God's plan and in God's way. As Joshua quoted, I was so happy for George to tell that story. Good does overcome evil because God is good. We haven't experienced all that yet. I hate death, but the last enemy to be destroyed in this world has not been completely realized, but it will because Jesus rose from the dead. Will you put away the pain? Will you put into perspective the pain? Will you forgive those who have hurt you?
and receive the forgiveness and submit to the will of God.
I pray that God use the death of my son. I pray it's not for naught. And I always plead with you to consider these things. And I plead with my family to remember these things. We've been blessed. We've been blessed with Joshi. And God had an appointment for him. And he ran his race well. And as a family, we accept that. We don't want it! I cry out, no. But my faith cries out, your will be done. Your will be done. I close with Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. Oh God, help us to pray these things. Help us to pray in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows them. What the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to pray, Lord, and guide us by your Spirit into your will. Help us to receive your words and interpret the events of our life according to your will. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purposes. We know you have a purpose in this, God. We know that you work all things together for good. Lord, we pray that your good purposes would be manifest. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us this day, this hard day. We know that all things, as all things, everything, not that in and of itself everything is good, but God works all things. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He works in and through the sinful choices of man to bring about a good plan. Consider the gospel as the greatest event of this. Truth. To those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined. Pa arizo. He marked out the parameters. It's already been predestined. He marked it out ahead of time. It's been established in His book. Every day is a revealing of the providential hand of God that's been determined by the counsel of God. You either believe that God is sovereign in a time like this, or you go crazy. I'm going to worship the God of the Bible. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. I'm thankful for that. Trials fit us for heaven, you know that. You know that. We've been predestined to be conformed to Christ. And these trials are designed by God to fit us for heaven so that we're less of ourselves and more of Jesus. I love what Bill Dale said. I think you, Josh beat us there. Is that what you said, Bill? I love it. He has more knowledge than I do now. He has more knowledge. He's there. Because the Father and the Son planned this for Him. That we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Wow! What a promise! Where is God in this pain? Making and keeping promises. What is my God doing? Making and keeping promises. Same thing He does all the days of my life. When this trial hit, I told my sons and my kids, I said, this trial is unlike any other trial we've gone through, ever, in one hand. On the other hand, it's just like any other trial that we always go through. Theology doesn't change when you hit a trial. Theology deepens. And this is a deepening by the grace of God. Moreover, those who are called are justified and they're glorified. The golden chain of God's power. And because the golden chain of God's power, Paul says this, what then shall we say to these things? What do we say to these things now? God is our God is unjust, no parent should have to bury his child. That's a bunch of hogwash. We say, what do we say to these things? May God be glorified. May his salvation plan go forward. And let us walk in humility and faith. For if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? As a parent, I want to give my sons everything I can. I give him everything because we love our children. And God is our Father and he's given us his own son. How shall he not also freely give us all things? God is the ultimate giver and he has given us everything. He's given us Christ. Therefore, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who can bring a charge? Satan? Satan, the great deceiver? Satan, who's got his hoodwinked into slandering and gossiping and all the evil things that he says. But in the throne room of God, who can bring a charge? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Christ is the only one who could. Christ stands up and Christ said, I laid down my life so that you could be saved. It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen. There is no death that conquers anything. Death does not stop. Death hurts. But it doesn't stop God's plan. Satan thought he had him on the cross, but Jesus rose again from the dead. Therefore, furthermore, also Christ is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And I need all the prayer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Shall persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? That's death. Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? No. As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Joshua is more than a conqueror because he finished his race to the end. And so, for us, in the land of the living, in this brief time that we have to run between the dashes, in the land of the living, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And for that, I give God thanks. Oh God, oh Lord, oh Father, you are my Abba Father. I commit my son to you. We're going to miss him. I thank you for the word. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the eternal working of your spirit. I thank you for the people that will bear witness of your gospel forever. And I pray that your word would go forth and bring glory to you. For you alone are God and you alone are glorious. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
He holds me that now this cup I'm drinking may bitter seem to my faint heart. I take it all I'm drinking. My God is true each morning new. Sweet comfort yet shall fill my heart, and pain and sorrow shall depart. Sweet comfort yet shall fill my heart. Whate'er my God ordains is right, here shall I stand be taken. No sorrow need or death be mine, yet I am not forsaken. My Father's care is round me there. He holds me that I shall not fall. And so to Him I leave it all. He holds me that I shall not fall.
Dear Lord, our hearts are very heavy, and I just pray a special prayer for my son Jason and his family, that as we move forward from this place, that the wonderful sermon that we just heard will live out throughout our lives. And Lord, I'm just thankful for the assurance that we know where Josh is. We're so thankful we can jump up and down and shout that He is in heaven, and there's no doubt. And that's a wonderful assurance to have. Thank you for everybody that's come to this service today. And we just pray that Josh's life will live on forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.